read a passage from the 13th chapter of Luke. I'll begin reading with verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. I've read from verse 6, continuing through verse 10 of the 13th chapter of Luke. I was reading this week, and I read where somebody said, Christ conducted himself thus and thus. I conducted myself thus and thus. And I thought that was pretty good. And I picked that up and thought that would make a good foundation for my little message this morning. Christ conducted himself thus and thus. I conducted myself thus and thus. A comparison was being made. This man was weighing out things and considering how his conduct compared with the conduct of Christ under similar circumstances. I feel that it would be maybe good, at least it would be interesting, for us someday to just take a sheet of paper and draw a line down the middle and on one side put Christ and on the other side put me. And in the conditions that I'm meeting that particular day, just put down over here how Christ handled that, and then over here how I handled that, and see how the inventory comes out, see how things balance. We get the idea sometimes, most of the time maybe, that the way Jesus lived, that's clear out of reach for folks now. I read a piece one time, and this has been years back, in the Sunday Denver Post. And the heading of it was, Why It Is Impossible to Live Like Christ Today. Well, several reasons were given, none of them valid as far as I could understand. But there were several reasons given why it would be impossible to live like Christ today. But now, Christ's standards are always the same. And if anybody ever lived by those standards, they can be lived by today. And Christ was setting before us the example of a Christian life. He never met life on the plane of the Son of God, he met life on the plane of the Son of Man. And he answered the devil when the devil tempted him with his first temptation. He says, it is written, man. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, and he just brushed it aside. He says, it's written, man. Now, Peter tells us, 1 Peter 2 and 21, that Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Then he goes ahead to be a little bit more specific about that. And he said, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he was persecuted, he threatened not. Now that might be a pretty good place for us to draw a line down the middle of the page. And Christ conducted himself thus and thus. When I come to a similar condition where I was being persecuted or being reviled, I conducted myself thus and thus. And just see how they balance out. After all, we're still discussing the thought of learning of Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. There's a lot in that text. I'll not be able to get it all out. I've been working on it 3 or 4 Sundays. I'm working on it again today, but I'll not be able to get all out there is in that text. You and I'll just have to get it out in day-by-day living. Just weighing our actions by the conduct of Jesus. Jesus is our example. Jesus is the pattern. Jesus is the like substance of what heaven's made of. And we're not going to get there and we're like him. Now, however impossible you might think that might be, and however far out of this world that might sound, it's still the truth. We're not going to get to heaven till we're like him. And in this lesson that I read this morning, we see a man with a fig tree in his vineyard. And it was a tree without fruit. He came seeking fruit and he found none. So he said to the caretaker, cut this tree down. It's not producing any fruit. It's a no good tree. And it's just taking up the space that a good tree could be taking up. It's just cumbering the ground. So just take this tree out. What happened about that time? That caretaker come to life. He woke up about that time. And he became conscious of the fact that maybe I've neglected that tree some. Maybe I haven't given that tree all the care that I could give it. Let it go another year or two. He began to plead for the tree. From all apparent purposes, it's a worthless tree. No fruit. Just cumbering the ground. And the owner was ready to take it out. But the caretaker, folks, I see Jesus here. He said, let it go a while longer. Let it go another year now. And let me dig about it, fertilize it, irrigate it, give it special attention and special interest and see if I can't get some fruit out of it. And if it doesn't bear fruit, then after that you can cut it down. He wasn't ready to cut it down yet. You can cut it down. Brother Chandler used to refer to this as God's fourth degree mercy. And the 3 years that they came seeking fruit there, didn't find any, but he begged for a fourth year. Folks, I believe if we look right straight at this, and this is a beautiful lesson right here, a beautiful story here. There are many of them in the Holy Scriptures. But I believe if we'll look right straight at this, we can learn something here. Learn what our attitude should be toward people that are behind time. Toward people that are weak. Toward people that vex and gouge us. Toward people who are a trial to us. The simplest thing is cut them down. That's a cheap settlement. It's much easier to just cut people off and excommunicate them and leave them alone than it is to exercise mercy and long-suffering and forbearance toward them and try to recover them. That's a job sometimes when you get into that. It's just a lot easier to just let them go. Leave them alone. They've had their chance. 3 years is a lot of chance, we might say. And we get the idea, well, maybe we'd just be better off without them. Well, there are some people that are set in their ways and you can't do anything with them, and they're kind of that disposition and nature that maybe the congregation would be better off without them, but let's leave it up to somebody else to handle that part. This caretaker says you can cut it down. If it doesn't bear fruit in another year, you can cut it down. But what I'm saying to us this morning is that when it comes to a point of excommunicating somebody, of casting them out of our company and out of our fellowship and withdrawing from them, now, there was somebody like this over in the Corinthian church that was guilty of gross sin. It wasn't any personality clash. It wasn't just because their name was John or Bill or Jim. They were guilty of gross sin, real incest. Paul said, deliver them to Satan. Just turn them over to Satan. Just let them know that they belong to Satan. But he said that the spirit might be saved in the day of Christ. Sometimes people have to be told right how they stand and what they are before they'll wake up. And sometimes, if people can get some support, somebody back of them here or there, they're just going to go on. You can't get much to them. The ministers was dealing with a brother minister that had gotten out of line one time, and it had wound up he was separated from the saints and had made a division and so on, and now they were dealing with the matter. Somebody said, the saints so-and-so. This fella popped right back. He said, what saints you talking about? Says, I've got saints with me too. Now, that's just the way it is. As long as they can get some backing, they're just going to go on. If the Word of God says to turn them over to Satan, that means you and me and you and me and everybody else do that. Don't anybody stand with them. But now, here's what I want to say to us. This lesson teaches me this. That if and when it comes to a point that someone needs to be cut off, you and I had better be certain that we have fulfilled our responsibility there, and we prayed every prayer God ever wanted us to pray for that individual. We fasted every time God wanted us to fast for them. And we have gone out of our way and around Robin Hood's barn maybe to show kindness and goodness to them. We have fertilized, we have irrigated, we have cultivated, we have shown every hospitality and every kindness to them. We better be sure we've done that before we rise up and say, just let them be cut off. Just let them go. That's what this lesson's teaching me. It's easy to cut somebody off. That's a cheap settlement. But it isn't all that easy to just fertilize and irrigate and dig about and cultivate and go out of our way and bear burdens and make sacrifices to help recover that person that's in error. God's Word said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, when that happens, and especially if it's kind of touching us and gouged us some, we're ready to just say, well, let them go. Just let them alone. But the Scripture said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I wonder how many of us folks, if we ever sat in judgment on anybody, sat there thinking of ourselves, considering ourselves. We're human too. We're subject to human frailties and errors too. But that's what the Bible said to do. Brother Trotter told about a judge in the court down at Fresno, California. And this was sentencing day. They'd had the trials of these people. And they'd been convicted. And this was sentencing day. And the judge was sitting on his bench, sentencing each person as they stood before him. Finally, he noticed something particular about the man that is standing before him now. The judge's car had been broken into a short while before this. And he had clothes and shoes and different things in there, and they'd been stolen. He looked down on this man's feet, and he saw his shoes on that man's feet. Well, the natural inclination would have been, I'll just sock it to him pretty good for what he did to me. But that judge wouldn't trust himself. He's afraid he would do that. Brother Chandler said he just slid down off of the bench and went back in his private chambers and sent another judge out there to pass sentence on that man. He was afraid to risk his own self under those circumstances. He'd been wronged by that man. I think we could learn something here. I believe it would be pretty good policy for me, maybe for you too, if somebody is being dealt with that we've had a kind of a personal case or run in with, instead of getting in there and say, I want to get in on this, I've got a crow to pick with this fella, just completely disqualify ourselves from the whole case. This lesson teaches me several things. And it's dealing with people. It was a parable, but it's dealing with people. And we have unfruitful people. And we have weak ones. God never intended that anybody be weak. He made provision for everybody to be strong. But we have them, and He knew we would have them, so He told us how to deal with them. And how to comfort them. How to support the weak. Lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Our God will come. He'll come with a recompense and save us. Every one of us ought to be learning as we follow Jesus through His life and ministry and how He dealt with people and the parables that He gave. Ought to be learning how to deal with people in every situation and station of life. Just see to it. If you're a little on that line, if you're a little rigid and a little hard in dealing with folks that are out of the way, just see to it that you've done all the fertilizing and irrigating and cultivating and everything, praying and fasting and everything that God would have you to do before you let the axe fall. Jesus conducted Himself thus and thus. I conducted myself thus and thus. How do they compare? How do they weigh out? Everything that we do that involves our relationship with our fellow men or our attitudes or our feelings or our speakings or our dispositions or anything along those lines, everything that we do should be weighed out with what Christ acted out under similar circumstances. And under those conditions, I read a book. Maybe I've read it more than once. I wish everybody'd read it. I mentioned this to you sometime before. The title of it was In His Steps. It's by Sheldon. And a group of people banded themselves together and pledged to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and just weigh everything that came to them by what Jesus would do in that circumstance. Now the things that happened in those people's lives and how things worked out, it's real interesting. But that should be the motto of our lives all the time, in His steps, following Him. Jesus said repeatedly to His disciples, follow me. Following Him. In parentheses on the title of that book is, or what would Jesus do? How many times do we take time out when we're tried, provoked, vexed, we're being gouged? How many times do we take time out to figure out what Jesus would do in a circumstance like this? There's something in the Bible. You look through the New Testament, you may not have to look very far, and you find Him right face to face with something like that or related to that. See how He conducted Himself. And then how for you to conduct yourself. The way for you to conduct yourself is just like you find Him conducting Himself. Jesus conducted Himself thus and thus. And the man was honest enough to just face right up to it. I conducted myself thus and thus. Now, how did it weigh out? Folks, we need to be honest. Honest with ourselves. Honest with our fellow men. Honest with God. Honest in our hearts. And when we take an inventory, it'll be a just inventory. When we come to a conclusion, it'll be a just conclusion, well-based in the Holy Scriptures and how Jesus handled this kind of a problem or that. How He dealt with these kind of people or how He dealt with this kind of people. And it'll cover the whole scope. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. You can find something in there that'll cover the whole scope of everything that can happen to you in your dealings and relations with humankind. And when you find it, be honest enough to face right up to it. That's the way for me to do. It may be like cutting off a right hand or plucking out an eye. It may be kind of painful and hard on the flesh to do it that way, but that's the way for me to do it. Jesus conducted Himself thus and thus. And then don't try to say, well, I was pretty close to that. I missed it some, but I was pretty close to that. Just say, I conducted myself thus and thus. Let us learn of Him who is meek and lowly in heart. And He says in doing that, we'll find rest to our souls. Amen.